New York City has been a favorite model of photographers since the invention of the camera. Now the New York Public Library is hosting an exhibit called Eminent Domain, Contemporary Photography in the City, that features images from five photographers whose work focuses on the evolution of New York's public and private spaces. And joining me now to discuss the works are Stephen C. Pinson, the exhibition's curator, and Thomas Holton and Bettina Jorge, two of the photographers who are in the show, and I'm very pleased to welcome them to this show. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
And Stephen, in the preface to the catalog, you write about the regulations that were under consideration by the city when you were writing about it, made official yesterday, that require filmmakers and photographers to obtain permits when they shoot on New York City streets. They have to have at least $1 million in liability insurance if they plan to have leave less than 8 feet of open space on a sidewalk or take over a lane of traffic. When you wrote about it, weren't they even broader?
They were. In fact, they were much broader last summer, and I think they've been tempered a bit since the passing of the legislation. So there was a huge public outcry at the time because people were obviously concerned. And
well, it sounded like anybody who wanted to take pictures in the city might have to get a permit.
Exactly.
A tourist.
Tourists with, you know, snapshot cameras coming in on vacation, having to take out liability insurance was a little bit much for people to consider.
Since it doesn't apply to casual photographers now, should this be considered a matter of much concern?
I think whenever there's legislation that affects how people go about their daily business and lives in public space, then there's always some kind of consideration that should be given to that. Of course, with photography in particular, because there's always been this sort of give and take between what is private and what is public space.
It's different when we're talking about filmmakers who do sometimes take up a lot of space and inconvenience people. I guess the only photographers who are going to have to deal with this now are Gregory Crutzen and Spencer Tunick for one reason or another. Did you intend this exhibit to be a political statement in response to what the mayor was proposing?
I did not have a specific intention to make a political statement. I did, however, want to raise some awareness about some of the issues that are occurring in the city, both directly affecting photography and also in general with all of the development that's occurring around the city.
Bettina and Thomas, does most of your photography involve shooting in the city? Let's begin with you, Thomas.
Well, I've been shooting in the city for the last 5 years. I started the Lambs of Ludlow Street project in 2002, and I've always been drawn to New York City. And New York City, in particular New York City's Chinatown neighborhood. I grew up here in the city, and so I grew up on the Upper East Side, but my grandparents, who are Chinese, live in Chinatown. So I found myself always packing my cameras up and going downtown just to explore and see what, a different reality was.
Bettina, you come from Germany. Growing up in Berlin, did that allow you to see New York City in a different way?
Yes, I think so. I think I came with a different maybe curiosity and less knowledge of what the places, the normal places are to be, and just the interest in exploring what I didn't know from tourist books and films and photographs I had seen before.
Do you think that it matters whether you're very familiar with an area that you're shooting or less familiar? Do you see things differently? And I ask both of you that. Thomas, when you're shooting in New York, since you grew up here, do you think you have to find ways to develop a fresh eye?
Well, as a photographer, I'm pretty naturally curious anyway. The camera is kind of like an excuse to kind of poke around. So when I carry my cameras around, my eyes kind of feel a little different than when I'm just walking down the street. But because I'm half Chinese, I was always wandering down to Chinatown. There's a natural curiosity down there anyway. So I always kind of got lost on purpose and kind of went down random side streets. I'll kind of sneak in buildings every once in a while just to kind of see different realities and see all the Mahjong stuff. But, it was just a natural curiosity in the first place for myself. So everything I saw down there was kind of new to me, even though I probably walked by it.
I lived in Chinatown for 25 years, and it was quite apparent to me after 25 years that somebody who just arrived yesterday from Hong Kong knew more about what was going on in my neighborhood than I knew.
Yeah, I felt, every time I would go down a different side street, see something new, and going in these buildings that I've walked by for dozens of years, and finally going in these random buildings on the Lower East Side and actually climbing five flights of stairs and going into these apartments was really quite remarkable.
Although you shot in what is now the extended Chinatown, the Lower East Side.
Right.
Bettina, your project explored the perimeters of the city. What was your intention in photographing lesser-known areas?
In general, my work deals with the perception of a place, and I try to question stereotypes and preconceived views of a place, of my urban environment mainly. And I had been biking around the city before. I had done other projects which brought me to the five boroughs, and I had noticed that I hadn't explored the edges enough. I noticed this while doing another work called Space Diary in New York City for a year before this, where I documented my daily movements by bike and on foot through the city. And when I was drawing the final yearly map of it, I had noticed that there were areas very well covered in the central parts of Manhattan and of Brooklyn, but that there was nothing covered in a lot of the edge areas. And so I didn't even have to think about the new project. I knew right away that I wanted to go there.
Now, the edges are often borders with other places, and yet they do seem to be the end in many cases, and often quite beautiful. We don't think of New York City as being that pretty, and yet you found all sorts of very lovely images here.
Yes, I was partly very surprised myself. I mean, even though I question perceptions, of course I have preconceived notions of places before as well. So, for example, the Bronx was really surprising to me. I had no idea that the eastern edge of the Bronx, the whole waterfront, would be so similar to somewhere in upstate, like maybe Maine or something, and not at all the dangerous Bronx people had warned me about and I had read about. And
so you were warned that the city was dangerous. You have discovered that New York is one of the least dangerous places on Earth. Going around on a bike means you can't carry around a lot of equipment.
No, but I also don't use a lot of equipment. I use very simple, or I don't know, just one camera carrying around.
My guests are Bettina Johei and Thomas Holton, two of the five photographers, featured in an exhibit called Eminent Domain, Contemporary Photography in the City, that's at the New York Public Library on 42nd Street and 5th Avenue through August 29th. Also with us is the curator of the show, Stephen C. Pinson. And Stephen, why call it Eminent Domain, which I always associate with government taking away property from private citizens?
Well, I think that was partially to do with the conflation of two different phenomena, two different movements that were occurring in the city a year ago when I was putting the show together, and one of them we've spoken about earlier, which is the legislation to require photographers to have personal liability insurance. And then the other thing was, of course, the development projects that are occurring throughout the city, basically in almost all parts of the city, from the redevelopment of Columbia University, and of course the Atlantic Yards, which has gotten the most press, and now Coney Island also is about to start this process. And the arguments, I think, are the strongest when eminent domain legislation is involved, and that is taking private property for public use. And the debate really right now is about the definition of public use and whether these projects are really more about the privatization of public space or whether they're really benefiting the people that live in those areas.
And you chose five photographers who definitely go about their work with a project?
Yes, I think partially that was circumstantial. When I was putting the show together, these happened to be the five photographers' works whose work I've collected over the past 3 years. And so when I was putting the show together, I knew that I wanted to show these photographers' work, but I hadn't really come up with a connecting theme. And so these two different things sort of brought everything together, I think, I hope, in a provocative way.
The other photographers being Reiner Leist, Zoe Leonard, Ethan Levitas, and Glenn Lagun. And each of them does have a very specific kind of project. Some of them are also foreign-born, as is Bettina. Do you see a difference in the way a local photographer views the city from the way somebody who comes from somewhere else might?
I think probably in as much as you would find that in any kind of artistic project that people bring their own personality and individualism to it. Certainly, I think there is a sense of, with both Bettina and Reiner Leist, who is also German-born, coming to the city and embarking on projects that help them to understand the space in which they're living in a better way.
In some cases, the photographs take things that we're very familiar with, like subway doors, and give them a whole new meaning.
Definitely. Ethan Levitas, his project, Untitled, This Is Just a Say, which is documentation of the elevated subway lines, and basically they're individual portraits of subway cars. And he's taken the photographs in such a way that you can see not only the individual cars, but also what is happening in the cars themselves. So it sort of subverts, in a way, our expectation of how we view a subway and how they really are, in a way, the public square of New York.
Thomas, yours is the only project that really deals with people and deals with this Lamb family. How did you connect with them? And were they willing to open up everything to you?
Well, I was photographing several different families in Chinatown who I met through a local housing advocate. And I would return every week with pictures to each family. And some families were very welcoming me back in, and some just barely didn't even open the door. And so the Lambs were always, you know, I bring back photographs from the week before. They'd always invite me in, and then they would say, stay for dinner. And then I would meet them and get to know them and discover what job they did, what school the kids went to. And after a while, I just became almost part of the family, or an uncle, or even part of the furniture. You know, I was just the guy with the camera. And so then they just started relaxing and just doing what they naturally do.
Well, you're half Chinese, but it's not immediately apparent. So that didn't give you much of an entree.
Yeah, I don't speak Chinese either. I speak a little bit of Mandarin, but not even passable.
And Cantonese is really the lingua franca of the neighborhood. You even traveled with the Lam family to China to see the family they'd left behind.
Right. They hadn't gone back in about 7 years to visit the father's parents. And so when they offered me the opportunity to go, I got jumped at it. And I've never been to China myself. So I've been to Taiwan when I was a young child. But this is to go completely authentic experience. We didn't stay in any hotels. We stayed at their uncle's house, the parents' house. I shared bunk beds with the family and the kids. And it was a fantastic 17 days, I do believe, in Hong Kong and China.
The one of the interesting aspects of these photographs is that, Stephen, that even though they're documentary, obviously, they all have a very personal feel about them. Is that what drew you to this group?
I think so. I think whenever a curator is going out and looking at work, obviously there is something that's subjective about the work that we that we end up selecting. And I think all of these projects touched me in different ways and spoke to me individually. And I think that what partially the success of this exhibition and the reason why so many people seem to be able to relate to it is that that comes across to the public as well. They find something in all of the projects that really speaks to them.
Bettina, my brother wrote a book about the New York waterfront, and he walked around the waterfront of Manhattan, completely around it, as best he could. There were many places he couldn't get to. Were you denied access to various places?
Yes. I was denied access at different parts of the city, at areas which were declared parks on all the maps I could find. And when I got there, they were actually fenced off, and there were hazardous waste dump signs on the fences. Or other areas like Seagate on Coney Island, where you end up at a real gate, at a big gate with a barbed wire on top. And
that's because it's a private housing development.
Right.
And they didn't want you or anyone else in there.
No, it's very difficult to get in there.
So what happens? Did you have to petition to gain access to some of these places?
No, I decided that my route would be the route of public accessibility. And
so if they didn't want you, you didn't want them.
Right. So I was basically stopping where I saw, like, no trespassing signs or no photography signs at the airport. But actually at the JFK airport, I never got to any no trespassing sign, but I was taken into the police station anyway for a couple of hours, and I was basically told that I should really stop taking pictures.
Because they were afraid that you might use them for some terrorist action?
I guess so.
Thomas, the Lamb children also took Polaroids, which are featured alongside yours. When did you think of including them in this project?
It wasn't until maybe about 2 years into it. I always carry a Polaroid camera with me in my bag, and quite often I use the Polaroids just to give away as leave-behinds or tokens or of my appreciation. And the kids would always go into my bag and steal the camera. And, you know, I would hear the Polaroids banging out, and I would just grab them or look at them, and I kind of kept them in a box. And then I was at a particularly frustrating point of the project where I was kind of stuck a little bit, and I stopped taking pictures for about a month. And I decided just to kind of revisit their work. And I discovered, you know, how interesting their point of view was versus mine, as well as I remembered the times where I took this picture and they took that picture. So I was really curious about how we had different kind of realities and the way we saw it was differently.
Stephen, recently we talked to Bruce Davidson about taking street photographs and the whole problem of photographing things that have already been photographed so many times, finding new ways to see things. And that has to be the biggest problem for photographers who are doing this kind of work today, don't you think?
I do think there's probably some level of an anxiety of influence whenever people are working, especially as something...
Oh, Walker Evans, they took this picture 50 years ago.
Exactly. Well, and interestingly, one of the photographers, Zoe Leonard, specifically had Walker Evans in mind as she set about documenting storefronts on the Lower East Side. So I think there are various ways in which one can take that in and either use it to one's own advantage or try to get around it and work, you know, with something more individual and independent. So I would imagine, not being a photographer myself, I would imagine that everybody sort of goes through that slight feeling of anxiety when they embark on a new project.
And was that something that concerned both of you, Bettina? What about you, Thomas?
You have anxiety. I have anxiety sometimes throughout the whole thing. So you kind of go through these ups and downs and lulls, and then you kind of break through it with a wonderful photograph, and then you kind of struggle for a couple months, and you're thinking you're never going to take a good photograph again. And when you finally get another one, you forget about those 2 months of frustrations. And this is one of those periods where I was in this kind of funk and where I took the Polaroids, like I said before, and just kind of revisited them.
We have a slideshow of images from the exhibit on our show page at WNYC.org, or you can see the whole thing at the New York Public Library at 42nd Street and 5th Avenue through August 29th. My great thanks to the show's curator, Stephen C. Pinson, and to two of the contributors to the show, Thomas Holton and Bettina Yohei. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.